But right now, we're going to be talking about kitchen utensils and using kitchen appliances that can reduce our outage, our energy. Sounds good to me.
Sadie Nine.
BBC. BBC Essex. I tell you, anything that saves on your bills has got to be good, hasn't it? And I just wonder, how efficient is your home? Have you been changing your habits or even buying new appliances to help reduce your bills? Well, new research by Smart Energy GB has found that more than half of us have bought new household goods in this year, in this past year, in order to be more energy efficient. And most of us are now making a conscious effort to use electrical goods less. So I just wonder, is it you? Have you been using certain items less, particularly in the kitchen? Or maybe paid out for a more energy-efficient kettle, toaster, or maybe even got yourself an air fryer? 0800 111 40 41 particularly would like to speak to you about an air fryer, because I don't know how they work. Fevzi Turkamp is editor of GadgetDetective.com and host of the Gadget Detective podcast. Very pleased to say joins me now. Fevzi, we're all monitoring our energy usage now. So is it the case that all newer goods have got to be more efficient to get the buyer's interest?
Well, there's still a very wide range of energy efficiency out there, so don't just assume that what you're buying is the most efficient. Even if it's better than what you've got now, it might not be the best you could choose. So, you know, you get energy efficiency ratings from A plus 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 right down to I think it goes down to G. So you need to look at that. So look at the energy efficiency rating, but also get the right size of items. So let's say you get a fridge freezer, and it's very energy efficient, but it's 50% bigger than you need, then you're still paying to cool the air inside that you may not be filling. So just choose the right item, choose the right size and the right power, and then choose the best energy rating that you can afford.
And it's how you use an item as well, isn't it? Because I was told only quite recently, really, that if you keep your freezer packed up, it actually costs less to run because it's so packed. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what I was told.
I don't know about that. I mean, one thing that in terms of fridge freezers, one thing that's very important that people often ignore is positioning it. You need to have about 10 centimetres all the way round clear, because if you don't have that, the heat from the machine, because obviously if it's cooling the inside, it's heating the outside of the fridge, and that heat has to dissipate, has to go away from the fridge. And if you've got your fridge jammed as close to the wall as it will possibly go, and there isn't 10 centimeters clearance, then you're probably spending more electricity just by making the fridge work harder because the immediate surroundings are too hot. So you could do that. Obviously with kettles, only boil the amount of water that you need. Mm. You know, some people have got a dual tariff on their electricity, and so some things can be done overnight, but you have to be a bit careful with that, because I know that London Fire Brigade don't recommend that we run washing machines and tumble dryers in particular overnight because of the fire risk. So, you know, unless you're actually with the machine, you know, maybe you're up overnight. If you are, that's, you know, that's a great time to do it. But otherwise, you've got to balance the fire risk as well. Don't leave things on standby, obviously. And then when it comes to cooking, you know, let's say you've got a pan of water on the hob. It's generally thought to be more energy efficient to boil the exact amount of water you need in an electric kettle, put it straight in the pan, and then make sure your pots and pans are covered so you're not losing energy unnecessarily. So there's quite a lot we can do. Tumble dryers, if you can afford it when you buy a new one, get one with a built-in heat pump. So instead of the tumble dryer pumping out the heat, it actually recycles the heat and uses it to dry the clothing, so they use much less energy, sometimes as little as half the energy. So there is a lot we can do, but I would caution people against, you know, spending money that they can't afford on new gadgets if they've got, you know, reasonably good ones. You kind of have to do the maths and work out how long would it take me to recover my outlay. It's funny, because someone was saying the other day that if they use a games console, that that's more energy efficient than using a PC, a desktop computer. And it's true, but it takes you 36 years to make back your money on the games console. So that's that's I doubt we'll be using the same. But other things, you know. But I guess the other thing to say, Sadie, is that about 82% of all our energy use is gas and electric, is heating and hot water. Just over 10% is kitchen. So the heating and the hot water is where you're going to get the biggest benefits if you get a smart heating system where you have smart thermostats on each one connected to the internet, and it can be very smart. You get ones that detect when you leave the house and make sure they turn off the heating, and some of them can even detect when you're within, let's say, half a mile of your house and turn it on for you, something like that. So there are clever things we can do. That's where the biggest gains are to be had. If you think about solar panels, I know this sounds a bit out there, but solar panels used to be those things that used to take forever to get your money back on them because they were so expensive and energy was relatively cheaper. But now the panels are getting more efficient and less expensive, and the cost of the electricity that you're saving is increasing. So now it's worth looking at solar panels as well, although it's hard to find a company that can fit them for you in a short order because so many people are trying to save electricity by putting panels on their roofs.
Mm. And they're starting to look a bit better as well, aren't they? At one time, I'm sorry, I'm all up for solar panels and saving things, but crikey, they're looking a little bit better at the moment. What about air fryers? What is this thing about air fryers? Are they really good? I haven't got one.
So air fryers are very interesting. And so an air fryer works by heating the air inside a pot, and then rather like a convection oven, it has a fan. So it circulates the warm air, and it circulates the tiny droplets of oil. So what it does is it gives you a food which is kind of crispy as if you deep fried it. Not exactly the same, but similar to that, but much less oil in the food. So in terms of energy, if you're cooking small amounts, particularly if your person lives on your own or just you're cooking for two, it's a reasonably small meal, then an air fryer can be a lot more energy efficient than firing up the oven, because the oven doesn't care if it's a small meal or a big meal, you're still using the same amount of energy to heat it, whereas an air fryer it is good as long as you're not having to then run it three times to complete one meal or something like that. I would just say, in terms of people talk about the health benefits of it, this is a bit of an unclear area. In some ways, it's thought to be better than, deep frying, because it's a lot less fat in the food, oil and fat in the food. There are some chemicals produced in air frying that are being investigated, let's say. So it's not, I wouldn't use it every day if I had one myself. I don't have one, but if I did, I wouldn't use it every day. And everything in moderation is probably not a bad piece of advice when it comes to that. You go one way, you've got a health issue. You go another way, you've got a health issue. But in terms of energy, yeah, they can certainly be cheaper than firing up the oven. Oh, and the other thing is live with four people, because the most energy efficient homes have got five people. If you live on your own, your energy bill per person is almost double that of if there's just two people in the home. And you can understand why, unless you're going to cook your meals separately and heat different rooms that you wouldn't otherwise heat. It's, as usual, single people get it in the neck as far as money is concerned, unfortunately.
BBC Essex. So just asking, how efficient is your home? I mean, have you changed your habits at all over the last couple of years as the prices have gone through the roof? New research by Smart Energy GB has found that more than half of us have bought new household goods in the past year to try and be more energy efficient. Fevzi Turkalp is my guest. He's the editor of GadgetDetective.com and host of the Gadget Detective podcast. So question I've got for you, Fevzi, smart meters. Good thing or a bad thing, do you think?
Okay, so it's a bit of a curate's egg, a smart meter. It gives you information about how much energy you use at different times of day, and you can have this little, box that sits on your countertop in the kitchen, and any information that you get is good. The downside of smart meters, if you get in trouble with your bill, they can disconnect you without having to get a court order and gain access to your house. So for that reason alone, I sometimes think people need to be cautious, because there are ways of measuring your energy usage without having a smart meter. You can buy these little devices. They're like a, they look like a plug. You plug it into the wall and you plug your kettle or whatever it is you want to measure into that. And you can measure it, and some of them will communicate with an app on your phone and all of that. So those things start at about £10. So you don't have to wait to get a smart meter to measure your usage. And just be aware that there are upsides and downsides to smart meters. A lot of people have technological issues with the reliability of smart meters as well. But it does give the control back to the energy company. And, you know, you just might want to have a think about the implications of that.
All right, that's an interesting one as well. And what about you? Have you changed gadget and appliance-wise? What have you changed?
Yeah, so my tumble dryer didn't need immediate changing, but it was quite a few years old, so it wasn't unreasonable to change it. And I changed it to a tumble dryer with a heat pump in it. So again, I mentioned earlier, heat pumps are much more efficient. The downside is they take about twice as long to heat to dry your clothing. They do. Well, that's kind of the sort of the trade-off with a lot of these things. Same with washing machines. I don't know if you've noticed, but on a modern washing machine, the cycle times are much longer. You can run 3 or even 4 hours. And the idea is that because they're washing at lower temperatures, they just take more time. So more time, but not more energy. So they'll use less energy, but they'll take more time. You know, you have to be a little bit more organized and not sort of just want your favorite t-shirt just before you go out or something like that. So I've done that. What I've done is I've used one of those little gadgets that I mentioned to you to measure electricity. And I've gone and plugged it into different devices to see how much energy they're actually using. And it's kind of interesting. So, for example, when I did it with the fridge, what I notice is if I have the door open too long, it's using more energy. It's kind of common sense, right? But also wait till things truly cool down before you put them in the fridge, because if it's even slightly warm, you're using electricity to cool it down, first of all, to room temperature before it takes it down to, you know, 5 degrees or whatever. The other thing that I've done is I've looked at the settings on all my devices. So, you know, I had my freezer too cold. I think, you know, a freezer you can have at minus 18 and I had it about minus 24. It's unnecessary. Similarly, with the fridge, you know, needs to be a bit cooler than 5 degrees, I think. So don't overcool things. And the other thing I now do is I defrost my fridge and freezer regularly, so that, because if it gets clogged up again, it's having to use more energy to do the same job. So I've tried to improve my energy hygiene, as they would say, you know, try to just make better choices. But it's not just about buying new stuff. You can make better use of what you've already got and reduce your energy bill. And do you really need to use a tumble dryer? You know, some people are using, clothes horses again, and also heated ones, little heated clothes racks, which can save a bit of money. So there's a lot you can do.
I love to see my washing hanging on a line. There hasn't been much chance in the last few weeks, but it soon will be. And I love the sight of that. A long line. I don't like these whirly things. I like a long line to see it. And if it's white, it's got to be really white. I enjoy that. Fevzi, thanks so much for all your tips. Very much appreciated.
Cheers.
Thank you for joining us once again. Thanks very much indeed. That was interesting, wasn't it? I learnt loads there. I hope you did as well. Fevzi Turkamp, thank you very much indeed.